But let's, if every group could have one of these, this is what we have current. And anything that needs to be marked out or changed that's current, if we could do that, that would, if anything needs to be taken off, let's turn one of these in as well. That would help our secretaries a lot. Thank you. So when the big hand is on the tube, we'll meet back. These? They're right over here. right, guys, as you're making your way back to your seat, let me go over birthdays and wedding anniversaries right quick. Ed Perkins is, I did not see Ed. Is Ed here? Ed Perkins, today is Ed's, it doesn't say which one. How long has Ed been married? Anybody know?
Week and a half.
Week and a half. All right, there we go. Congratulations to Ed. And John and Kelly Potter. I think I saw John. John, yes, John. How many years, John?
37.
37, all right. Way to go, man. Congratulations.
And
wait a minute. In all fairness to John, it's not until the 8th, so technically it's still 37, right? Is that right? All right. Hey, it's just a number. Does that work? How many feels your birthday is just a number anymore? No? Me, I do. All right. All right, speaking of birthdays, Joe Green on the 4th and Sandy Cox on the 8th. All right, so happy birthday to you two. All right, I think that's it. So make sure, I think all our prayer stuff has been turned in, updated, and whatever. So Dr. Stevens, I believe we're ready to go.
Amen. We have a special prayer request. Our son-in-law from Micronesia, he is a Micronesian. He's coming home in March and to raise more support. They're desperately in need of support. And they're going to be here on March 22nd. So praise the Lord, Brother Pastor Herdman wanted them to come here, so they'll be here in the evening service. But here's the prayer. They're going to get out of there, but because of the quarantine, we may not get them back in for a long time. And taking care of relatives that long is a difficult situation. So. So how many know what I'm talking about? I had them home for a year, and like I said, it was great to see the headlights, but boy, the taillights looked better after a year. When they got on that airplane, I said to Marilyn, "Do you feel like crying?" She said, "No, I feel like going out to eat and have a celebration." So that's what we did. We went out, had a great meal, happy days were here again. We thank the Lord for. Anyway, we're going to enjoy seeing him. My grandson, Kyler, is coming with him. And how old is Kyler?
15.
He's 15, but he looks older than that. And if he stays, it's good. I got so much work at my house to have done. I'm just going to make sure he does it. So pray for us. We our official last Sunday will probably be on March 1st, I will be here first week, and then after that, I'll be spasmodic about coming in, just helping the preacher on and off, but nothing for a couple weeks is all. So we're getting near the end, and we have the service tomorrow. Pray that will go well, and then the graveside will take place on Tuesday in Rogersville, and then Marilyn and I are going to do something that we haven't done for a long time. We're going home for a few days. We haven't seen our home in 33 days, so we're going to go home and hope it's still there. Hope it's there. So we're going to go home and for a few days. But you pray for me because I insisted that she stay home when I come back here on Friday and then come back home on Monday. And then she'll come back the next week. But I think she needs to stay home and that way I can beat all the chocolate I want and never have to be bothered about being told not to. So there are benefits in that. Let's take our Bible and go to the 27th chapter. We're finishing up some thoughts there in that chapter on Jacob. As you know, the stealing of the birthright and reaction of Esau that he hated Jacob so very much. Verse 41 says, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing whereof his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart," would you note that? He said in his heart. The days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. The only problem is that his dad, Isaac, will live another 43 years. Another 43 years, so it will be difficult for him to do that. I'm reminded of our good friend Charlie, who we thought 2 weeks ago Charlie was going to go home, and God chose to leave him here a couple weeks longer. One of the last things I remember Charlie saying to me was, don't let him get Trump out of office. That's one of the things he said to me. I'll remember it well as he said that. And then he kind of went back into semi-coma and then finally unable to talk. And so last Wednesday night, I told Marilyn, I said, I'm going to let Daniel preach. I don't know why, but I just think I need to be free just in case something happened. And sure enough, at 7 o'clock that night, Charlie passed on, and so I was able to go back to the hospital to be with the family. So God arranged all that. God's good at arranging things better than we are, and we're thankful for that. Now here we have here, as we pick up in verse 42 to end this, and the words of Esau, her elder son, was told Rebekah. Now keep in mind, we have an unspiritual father in this chapter, an unsurrendered mother, and unstable sons, if you remember. And here we see an unsurrendered mother. She goes to Jacob, and she seems to be in charge here. And anytime the order that God has arranged in scriptures are out of order, you're going to have problems. And you have it here. And find here in verse 42, the words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah how she hated Jacob, how he hated Jacob. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee thee to Laban, my brother, to Haran. And then tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away. Now, mark verse 44. The reason why I say that here, just a few days, unfortunately, it was over 20 years. Those few days turned to, over 20 years. And secondly, keep in mind, Jacob was very close to his mother. He will never see her again this side of heaven. She will die before he comes back. And there are probably some heartbreak there in that. And then he says in verse 45, till thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget which thou hast done to him. It's better for him to have stayed and made things right with his brother. Be careful with anger. Be careful with bitterness. Be careful that it's handled properly. And I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, this is interesting. She's going to work on Isaac's emotions here. And keep in mind, Isaac is not at all wrapped up in Jacob. He's wrapped up in who? Esau. And self. And so we see here, Jacob, he says, that Dad, and notice what she says here, I am weary of my life. That's an interesting statement here. The thought here is, if I could do over again, I just want to die. The problem with that is she will before Jacob comes back. She'll never see him again. And if Jacob take a wife for the daughter of Heath, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? In other words, the reason that she is given to send him away has not to do with the real reason. It was the second reason. You know, don't want him to take a wife here, but truth of it is, she was afraid that Esau would kill him. So with that in mind, you come to the 28th chapter here, and it is a very interesting chapter. There are two main chapters as we go forward. By the way, we're going to end when we get to chapter 36. We will not go into chapter 37 through the end of the book, because I preached a whole series on Jacob. On Joseph. How many remember that? Half of you. That's scary about my preaching, isn't it? All right. But we preached a whole series there on that. I'll make a few comments. about him. But we find here in chapter 28, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. So the real reason for him leaving is sort of hidden. It's not the real reason that they're sending him away. But we find here as we move down. So I want to jump all the way down to verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. And then we find here what I think is some interesting thoughts here as Jacob, I want you to notice Jacob finding no rest as you come here to verse 11. Jacob finding no rest. And he lighted upon a certain place and he tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of the place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And I had to underline the stones. How many have seen the advertisement on TV about the pillow, my pillow? Y'all familiar with that? His stones was my pillow. And I thought about that. Probably he could lay on those stones because he was hard-headed. I don't think he had any problem there because he was hard-headed. He just was there. And so he laid down in that place to sleep. But there is no rest. Jacob really finds no rest in his spirit. And then we find him not only finding no rest, but we find facing God in these next few verses. He's facing God. If there's no rest in your soul and in your spirit, it is because there's something wrong between you and God. And that's exactly what's taking place here. Jacob had deceived his dad, went along with his mother in that deception. And there is no rest when you deceive. What's Jacob's name mean, surplanter? One who deceives. And that's his name. His name is later changed to what? Anybody know?
Israel.
That's a pretty good name. But that's not what he is called here. So now he is there and he has a dream. And it's a restless dream for him because he followed a ladder set upon the earth and the top of it reached to heaven. Now, underline that thought. The ladder here is Christ. Christ is the ladder. He is the one that takes us up to heaven. Isn't that good? He takes us up to heaven. Now, I personally don't like ladders. Twice I have fallen off of a ladder. And I remember the first time when I got on top of the roof. And Marilyn said, now, honey, I don't think you ought to get up there in that ladder. I said, well, I've got to get up there and get off these leaves off of this roof. So I got up there for a few moments. And I came down rather quickly, falling off the ladder, tore my leg open. And then I had to crawl into the house. And I laid on my back and yelling for Marilyn. She comes out. She looked down. She said, I told you not to get on that rope. And I said, I'm not on it anymore. I need help. I'm in trouble. And then I had to face going to the hospital and getting taken care of. And then the second time, I was trimming bushes, same ladder. I got rid of that ladder, by the way. Fell off the ladder. And again, that time I had to have back surgery, a little minor thing that they, by the way, they did that. It was interesting how they did that. They had me lay on a table. They look a screen and they put, smelled like airplane glue in my back and lifted that disc off of those nerves. And hey, I walked that way. Well, that was great. That was a great healing experience. Marilyn went to the deacons, I think, and they took away my ladder. Said, you will not get on a ladder anymore. But the ladder here is not that kind of a ladder. The ladder is not a destructive ladder, it's a helpful ladder. And we find here the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. I have a whole series of messages on angels. Never study angels outside of Scripture. It's a mistake. You'll wind up in demonism real quick. Only study angels from Bible viewpoint. But notice here, and behold, verse 13, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham. The word Lord here is the word for Jehovah. Jehovah. That name means the eternal God. The word God there is Elohim. It is found the first time in Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning what? God, and it's a plural noun, referring to the fact there is more than one person of the Godhead, and we know how many are there. Three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land wherein thou liest, this will I give it to thee and to thy seed. Now keep in mind, Jacob is not right with God. But God is reminding him why God saved him, chose him to be a tremendous leader, and his name will be changed to Israel. It isn't that God is overlooking his sin. There are two main chapters. Chapter 28, I believe, is what we might call today where Jacob got saved. I go to chapter 32 later, and we find where he surrendered. Chapter 28, salvation. Chapter 32, surrender, would be the subject of chapter 32. And let's read a little more here. So he's promising him, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Verse 14, thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Let me tell you something. Israel is the reason why America is being blessed today. Because we have recognized God's people. And when we do that, our nation is blessed. When we forget Israel, they are God's chosen people. And they are that in spite of the rejection of Christ and the rebelling against God. I want to tell you today, I'm so glad to be saved. But I know that I've rebelled against God many a time in my life. Anyone here not rebelled against God at times? I want to see your wicked hand. We do, don't we? We rebel. And I am with thee and will keep thee in the place whither thou shalt goest. Now these verses are important because he's dealing here with what we call the Abrahamic covenant. There are those people who believe that God is through with Israel. God is not through with Israel because he made his promises, and God is a promise keeper, not a promise breaker. He keeps his promises. I will bring thee again to the land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which has spoken of thee. Now, he doesn't even bring up Jacob's sins, but Jacob later on will see his need of getting away. And Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, look at verse 16, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Wow. This is how backslidden Jacob is. He's not in close communion with God. There are times in your life, in my life, that we wonder, you know some people today, they're not living right, and yet it seems like they're getting blessed everywhere. How many know somebody like that? If they're Christians, God still loves them, and God's still going to keep his promises. They're not going to lose their salvation. God's going to take care of them in spite of their sins. And in my case, in spite of my sins as well. And notice here in verse 17, and he was afraid. So we see here something interesting. We see Jacob finding no rest, Jacob facing God And then I come down to verse 17, to the end of that chapter, and we find him fully changed, finding no rest, facing God, and fully changed. God will get a hold of Jacob in an unusual way here. And he was afraid, verse 17. And there is a fear. There's two kinds of fear, folks. 2 Timothy chapter 1, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and of a sound mind. Or is that Titus? Did I just quote that from the wrong book? No, anyway, it's Titus or Timothy. I'm getting to the place where I forget things. As long as I don't forget Marilyn, I guess I'll be okay. Won't I? All right. By the way, I did one time. We were in Shoney's restaurant not far from the church, and I had several with me, and everybody got in except Marilyn. She was in the restroom, and I forgot her. I went back, though, and got her. She said, "Remember me?" Look here with me. There's some changes in his life. So he's fully changed. After he is finding no rest and facing God. And Jacob, verse 18, rose up and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it upon for a pillar, from a pillow to a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. In other words, he was Jacob hadn't worshiped God for some time. This is an indication here that changed life, and God got a hold of his life. And I'm so glad for that. And what's the oil symbolic of? Anybody know? Holy Spirit. Anytime you find oil in Scripture, you know immediately it is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And as though God, through the Holy Spirit, was changing his life. Now, we have a different, what we call dispensation. In those days, the Holy Spirit would come upon and do things, and then they would leave him. But when you got saved today, the Holy Spirit of God is with you forever. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to walk away from your life. And I share with you today that the Holy Spirit is as much of God as the Lord Jesus and the Father is God. But there's an interesting thought as we move down here to verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Underline that. The word itself means the house of God. That's what it means. This will be very prominent in Jacob's life, the house of God, Bethel, the house of God. And verse 20 is an interesting thought here, and I want to go back to Bethel in a moment and speak a little more on Bethel. But look at verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me." Now, the word "if" here is an interesting word. If you saw it in the Hebrew, the word "if" could be translated either "if." Anybody know what the other word would be? Anybody have any idea? Larry, think you know? "Since." The word in the Hebrew could either be "if" or "since." It's translated "if" here, but it also means "since you'll be with me." And so Jacob was not necessarily putting God here. He's not having doubt if you look at the word "if." The idea is because you are with me. It's pretty obvious God's with him. Amen? I mean, he saw the ladder. "If God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go, will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." Now, he's not challenging God here. The idea of the "if" is since you're with me. But he makes an interesting thought here in verse 22. "And the stones which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. Of all that thou givest me, I will surely give unto thee the tenth of thee." What is the first thing you find Jacob doing after he really gets saved? What's he doing?
Tithing.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that an interesting thought? He's tithing. I remember hearing the story of a young man who went to his pastor. He'd only been saved a few weeks, and he didn't have much of a job. He was only making $20 a week. That was many years ago. And the pastor, he said, "Well, what is the first thing I need to do?" He said, "Well, you need to tithe." And $20 is $2. Wasn't long, he was making $200. That's how much? 20, if we're getting our math here. It wasn't long before he was making $2,000 a week. $2,000. How much is that? $200. It wasn't long before he was making, in a year, $200,000. How much is that? How much? Can't hear you. You're don't talk in tongues. How much?
20,000.
He went back to his pastor and he said to his pastor, "You know," he said, "I'm struggling." He said, "What are you struggling over?" He says, $20,000. "That's a lot of money." He said, "I'm struggling with it." He said, "Well, let's go to prayer." He got on his knees, both of them, and the pastor began to pray, "Lord, shrink his income back to $20 a week," because he had no problem giving $20 a week. Am I getting the point across? And that's what he boy jumped up. "Hey, what number? 20,000, God, you'll get it." I remember in school when I was a sophomore. You know what a sophomore is, don't you? Two Greek words, sophos, moros, wise fool. And boy, if you'd have seen me as a sophomore, I had all the answers. Now, I didn't know what the questions were, but I had all the answers. And somebody had said to me, "You know, we're going to school and you don't need to tithe until after we get out." I mean, there was more month left over at the end of the paycheck. How many know what I'm talking about? So I thought, well, maybe he's got a point. So for a month, I didn't tithe. Everything went wrong. I mean, tell you, God got his tithe. God got his tithe. And I said, "Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll make it up and we'll go forward tithing." We've done that ever since, more than tithing now. But I thank the Lord for that. And do not think for one moment that tithing is just for the Jews in this passage. You study the Bible, you'll see Melchizedek. He wasn't a Jew, and that was a picture of Christ, and he tithed to him. And so we find those references. But go back to the word Bethel as we wind this up this morning. From there, I want you to jump way ahead to chapter 32, if you will, please. Is that the one I want? Hang on a minute. That's not the chapter I wanted. Hang on, don't leave. Oh, chapter 35. This is many years later, probably more like 50, 60, 70, I'm not sure. But remember where he was in chapter 28? He called that place what? Bethel. What's that mean? All right. Now, we come over here to chapter 35. I'm jumping ahead for a reason about Bethel. And God said unto Jacob, "Arise, go up to where? Bethel." That seemed to be a sacred place. I want to tell you, you're in a sacred place today, the house of God. Hello? You're in a sacred place today. Please can make sure you understand how sacred your church is. I'm not referring to a building. I am referring to the gathering of God's people together. Keep that in mind. You're not just coming to a building. You're coming to a very sacred place of fellowship and communion and worship of God. But it's interesting. As you come here again, he will repeat that word Bethel at verse 1. Verse 2, he said, let us arise, go up to Bethel. Go to verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. This is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. But then you come to verse 7. And he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel. Does anybody know what the word, two letters L means in the in our English Bible?
Or,
what?
God.
God. Then he says, God, the house of God. More important than anything else, we ought to always make God the preeminent person in the house of God. That's who we need to have the preeminence, that he is always the preeminence. I know of a church right now down in South Carolina who's called me several times needing advice over the phone because the church is split. And it's split over the dumbest things. Wow. And what they have lost their focus from the house of God, the God of the house of God, to what they want to focus on. Keep your focus on God. This church has been through a lot. Are you ready for this? It's probably going to go through a lot more before the Lord Jesus comes back. Hello? I'm thankful for Brother Herdman. Boy, he's going to be a great preacher. By the way, don't compare him. Don't compare him. It's only got a couple amens. Do not compare him to anybody else. Amen? Don't do that. Pray for him. And somebody said to me, I hope he has a sense of humor like you do. I hope he doesn't. My humor's got me into more trouble down through the year. Right, honey? Yeah, that's it, honey. She knows. She knows. But just pray that he be of God, leading you to the God of the house of God, and you'll be okay. Well, we'll get back next time again. And so thank the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for our time together. And all God's people said. Now, let me say a word about tonight. We have church tonight. We don't have Super Bowl. Church tonight. Now, the 49ers. Everybody here know what the 49ers, that where they got that name, the 49ers?
The minor 49ers.
Huh?
The minor 49ers.
What?
The 49ers.
The 49ers is from the Gold Rush days of back. Yeah. Anyway, I don't care who wins. I just want to make sure he wins. Focus on the God of the house of God tonight. And if you're not here, we'll pray that your TV blows up. That will be the prayer. God bless you. You're dismissed.
I remember Robin Pig.